You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Earlier, we had a wonderful church camp this last weekend. My name is Rick, if you don't know me, if anyone's visiting, that's great. We love having visitors. And we were away. We were visiting. We had all three sites together. So we have a site over in Aldershot, we have a site in Borden, and we have a site here in Farnham. And last weekend, we came all together. There was around about 330 of us together at the weekend, and it was just great to be together as family. And I want to thank a couple of people, or everyone that was involved, really. I mean, thank all of you for turning up. Without you, obviously, it wouldn't have worked. But a lot of people grafted. Alex was there from, I think, Wednesday night doing security. So he set his camp and turned up early. Thank you, Alex. A lot of people across the week and across the weekend just grafted hard. Thank you for your kind words and prayers over the week. Some of you may have heard that I decided to headbutt Kenny's van just on while packing up the PA on Sunday afternoon. So it was quite something actually working with Kenny. Kenny's the kind of guy that would just do what I did and bounce off and carry on working. And I kind of just crumpled. And I think I kind of mildly irritated him that I was then in the way on the floor while he then packed the van around me. But thank you all very much. Kenny was just getting on with it, and I was trying not to be sick. Lindsay came over and sorted me out, and she said the one thing I really do remember from that afternoon was that she said, if you're sick, you have to go to A&E. And that was it. The thought of A&E at that time of the afternoon after the Woods weekend, there was nothing coming out of me from that point onwards. I had a little lie down, and then I went home. And I just wanted to thank particularly T and Lindsay and Quinton and Michelle, who came and then helped Lindy and her dad just pack up the tent. I wasn't there. There's some great bonuses for me personally. Lindy and I, we would have a certain routine, but Lindy didn't know some of the stuff about packing the tent away now. This has given her a little scare, and now she knows everything about packing down the tent and packing up the tent. So at West Point, I'm just putting the chair out, sitting back. It's great. It's great. I did want to say thank you to everyone that helped, and particularly to the Bassons and the Rashids. Ben Foster mentioned that it was fairly concerning that an elder would resort to self-harm to get out of clearing up. Quinton has demanded that I wear a hard hat from the Tuesday previous to the Monday following, and said that I shouldn't be faking a head injury to get out of sit down. And I do love my family. I do love my family. But this morning, let's come to the word of the Lord. We're in week 8 of a 10-week series called Just 10. It's looking at the 10 commandments and what they mean for us today. We're doing it in reverse order, so we're in week 8, but we're looking at the third commandment. Then the title is Take God Seriously. So let me ask you a question. What is the first thing, or one of the first things, you ask when someone has a new baby? Bang.
Boy or a girl?
Boy or a girl. But Haley said, what's their name? And they'll probably ask, what is their weight? But the name comes up quite quickly, doesn't it? And there's a difference between knowing baby as baby before parents name their child, and then when the child is named. When baby becomes Reuben or Sarah or Daniel, it changes things. And names are important. To know someone by name is the first step to getting to know that person. If people remember your name, it shows you care. And I set myself a fairly high or a big challenge when I was then setting out the teams on Saturday afternoon at Waverley Woods. And I started, there was probably about 100 people from across all three sites. And the first people that I started, I knew their names. But then I started saying, you're number one, and I was naming their names. And then I thought, this is really on a hiding to nothing, isn't it? So I'm going to get to some person. And I think I did relatively well, but there was one guy who I'd met when I was last in Aldershot, and I couldn't remember his name. And there were some people that I'd never met, and I didn't know their names. You see, sometimes when you forget someone's name, and especially if they would think that you should know it, it can hurt. We associate certain names with certain things. So if I said the names Adolf Hitler, or Pol Pot, or Stalin, it conjures up certain images, doesn't it? Whereas if I said Mother Teresa, sense of admiration and all the good that she did. We're also concerned about the reputation of our names, aren't we? If there's stories going around about our names, we don't like it. And the Israelites in the Old Testament, to them, names were really, really important. They gave their kids significant names. And indeed, if we're blessed to have children, the names we give our children is really important. And we see in Scripture that names often hold a prophetic meaning and purpose. Jesus used names, didn't he? Changed names. The Israelites believed that the name of God was so sacred that when they were writing his name with a quill, they then had to throw that quill away and use a new one from that point on. They had an immense awe and reverence for the name of God. You see, the name of God represents the nature of God. And to dishonor the name is to dishonor him. Names are important. We see even the importance placed on names today in the secular world. And I thought about this, and I thought I could use a whole lot of different examples. But the one I've chosen is this one. This was a BBC headline. Australia cricket scandal, a body blow to an incredulous nation. Some of you who don't do cricket are looking at me strangely. Sean McCallion's looking at me, so what? So there was yellow sandpaper that was used in a test series over in South Africa. And suddenly they were found out, and they were ball tampering, which I should explain that before I go on, is a cricket ball. You get the sandpaper, and if you sandpaper one side of it, you get the cricket ball to swing, so it's much harder to bat against. So there was this yellow sandpaper. And there was an outcry in Australia, an absolute outcry. And I was trying to work it out. And from the Prime Minister, who made a press statement about it, down to the local bloke in the pub, there was a sense that the individuals who had been involved in this had not only tarnished the name of Australian cricket, but Australia generally. It was a blot on the name of Australia and all that it stood for. And when I thought about that a bit more, when I thought about the name and how important it is, it helped me kind of understand the outcry a little bit more. See, names are really, really important. And if we're going to be serious with God, we need to respect him and respect his name. So the third commandment comes from Exodus 20, verse 7. And it says this, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." So it's a fairly weighty commandment, isn't it? So the big question for us this morning is, how do we misuse God's name? How can we run into doing that? And how indeed can we avoid it? Well, I think the first one is when we use it to insult. And this is a J. John series. And so in J. John's notes, he said that in the concise Oxford Dictionary, the first entry under the name Jesus is, number one, an exclamation of surprise or dismay, and number two, the name of the founder of the Christian religion. Now, I looked up a lot of dictionaries online. I didn't have the Oxford Concise, so I can't see if it's exactly that way around. The other dictionaries, to be fair, had it the other way around. The name of the founder of the Christian religion, and then an exclamation. But in other words, his point is that Jesus is to be understood first as a common expletive and then the founder of Christianity. The word swearing means treating something sacred with abuse, contempt, or irreverence. And I think we've become numb just how often God's name is taken in vain. My Lord, but as an exclamation. Oh my God, but as an expression of surprise. The media casually uses terms like God damn it or Jesus Christ. And the media defends itself by just saying, well, this just reflects society. You know, a film will get a 15 rating if there's sexual swear words, but a PG rating if there's only, in inverted commas, blasphemies. So we must not allow films to desensitize us to the sacredness of God. I'm married to Lindy. Lindy is the name of someone I love very much. And if someone was using that name flippantly or casually, it would really concern me. And in just the same way, when God's name's used flippantly, it should concern us. See, it happens all the time, doesn't it? Someone cuts us off in traffic. Oh, for heaven's sake. Nigel's getting married. Good God. A child spills their drink. Oh, for God's sake. See, God never intended his name to be an exclamation, to be a curse word and a cliche. Let's just say you're hammering a nail and you miss the nail and you hit your thumb. The world doesn't turn around and say, oh, Buddha. You're having a cup of coffee and someone catches your elbow. We don't say, oh, Muhammad. It just sounds wrong even saying it now. But the world's so accustomed to put the word God in there, put the name Jesus Christ in there, and it's nothing. When we use God's name frivolously, we dishonor God and we display irreverence. So a couple of questions for you. The first one is, are we blaming God for something that he didn't cause? See, what often happens when good things happen, people say, aren't I lucky? When bad things happen, how can God be doing this to me? Whenever someone gets out of trouble, often they can forget about God. A NASA director was explaining to a reporter how a module would land on Mars. And the reporter asked how the module will return. And the NASA guy turned around and he said, that involves a highly complex plan. And it begins with these words, our Father who art in heaven. So let's not use God's name to insult. And we don't use God's name to indulge ourselves. How many occasions have we felt that we're doing God a favor? What motivates people to go to church at Christmas and Easter? Perhaps maybe it's a mixture of tradition, superstition, but it's quite common in this world, isn't it? It's quite common in this country. There's an assumption that God must be pleased when he sees us in church at Christmas and at Easter. And we'll all sit there. I remember when we were up in London and there was a big church next to us when we were still living up in just on the other side of Fulham. We were on Fulham Palace Road, so Putney Bridge, and there's a big church there. And we were out, it was Christmas Eve. That's right, because Christmas Eve is my birthday. And we had been to Royal Albert Hall for carols by candlelight. And we were coming home and then we found ourselves, there's just lots and lots of people. And suddenly then we thought, oh, where are they all going? And we went into the church and we're sitting in the church. And then we were just sort of surrounded by lots of drunk people. And everyone's just, you know, but everyone's sitting there and suddenly their faces and their posture changes in church and they're praying these prayers and you just think, what does God think of that? What makes people turn God into a tradition? C. See, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29 says this, if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. To treat God as a tradition or superstition is to misuse his name. So we don't use his name to insult, and we don't use his name to indulge ourselves. Third point, we don't use God's name to intimidate. So often we can use God's name to justify our own point of view, can't we? We can do that sometimes. We see it through history that God's name has been invoked for all sorts of terrible things, through the Crusades, through slavery in America, Nazi agenda in Germany, apartheid in South Africa. And whether it's wars or cars or football or cricket, when we use God's name to bring credibility to our own ideas, it's wrong. See, I do believe God speaks to us today. He speaks to me individually, and he speaks to you individually. We need to be careful that we don't misuse the term God told me. We see it in the scriptures. We see when St. Paul was writing, particularly in his letters, he would say when he was giving a word from God, and he would say when he was giving a word of advice from himself. And we need to be careful. So let's not fall into the temptation of twisting the Bible to fit our own lifestyle. You're still with me? Right, we've dealt with the negative. We'll shift now to the positive. And we ask the question, well, how do we then take God seriously? The first point. Let's be selective with our words. We do need to watch what we say. Not only watch our swearing, but also watch our slang. See, we rarely think of where slang came from. Slang can often just be a shorthand for swearing, a substitute for a stronger word. We've sort of have this, sometimes we can fall into this sort of trap that there's words that Christians don't use, and then we kind of just make them slightly nicer and we get more comfortable with those words. So we definitely wouldn't say these words, but these words, that's okay. And how long does it take that these words become those words? We get mixed up anyway in the legalism of it all. But God calls us to a holy life. God calls us to a pure life. And we don't need to be bound by rules and lists of words. But he does call us to live a holy life. See, words tell us, or experts tell us, that as history went on, God became golly, bygum, and gosh. Jesus Christ became for crying out loud, and we say, well, we don't mean anything by it. And that's the point. God's name is too holy not for it to mean something. And some of us, probably all of us, have used words like this at sudden times, and we don't even know what we're saying. Well, this morning is to kind of remind us what we are saying. And you see, I think it's not only words that we say and conversations we have. I think it's also music. And my wife is excellent at this. I'll be just singing along with a tune, just a snappy tune, it gets in my head. I'm singing along. She says, do you know what you're singing? And I'm like, no. What am I singing? And she said, listen to the words you're singing. And so much of modern songs think and listen about the words and what they say. What words and what songs are your kids listening to? It presents a culture. It prevails a culture. So words we say, songs we listen to. See, we're constantly bombarded with profanity from books, films, friends, car stickers. It just comes all the time. So let's decide today that we use the name of the Lord in a holy way and be selective with our words. Point two, be sincere with our actions. Let's make sure our life matches what we believe. Titus 1 verse 16 says, people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way that they live. Is your belief consistent with your behavior? It's a constant challenge, isn't it? And it's a constant challenge, particularly in stressful moments. It's kind of easy when you're on holiday and, you know, you've sort of gone through those first few days and you're fully relaxed, you're by the pool, you're chilling out. And that's generally not the time where you sort of just have an outrageous burst of foul language or, you know. But when pressure's on, when work's coming down on you, when friendships are beginning to be difficult, when relationship, you know, it's the pressure that comes on. And even at those times, praise God, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us who enables us to live a life which responds differently. And that's what we need to do. See, Jesus said, not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but still they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21. I mean, this is a weighty commandment, and there's some weight to what we're speaking about this morning. So let's be selective in our words and sincere in our actions. But who is this Jesus whose name is so glibly used across the globe? He is the one who we can call on to forgive all of our sins. He wipes away our guilt. He heals our deepest hurts and restores our dignity. The name Jesus means Savior. The name of Jesus carries power. Did we not sing about it this morning? People are healed and evil spirits are cast out through the name of Jesus. John 20 verse 31 says this, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. See, let's listen to how the scriptures describe Jesus, this Savior, this Lord. He is the bread of life, the water of life, the light of the world, the cornerstone, the Son of righteousness, the hidden door, the great physician, the teacher, the lily of the valley, the rock of the ages, the true vine, the righteous one, the pearl of great price. He is wisdom. He is the word. He is the good shepherd. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the way, the truth, and the life. This is Jesus in his glory. King of heaven, dying for me. I'm doing all I can not to sing, because that won't bless anyone. But it is finished. He has done it. Death is beaten. Heaven beckons me. Such love. Such love. Such love is this for me. See, salvation is found in no other name. There's only one name that we can call on to be saved. Acts 4 verse 12. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10 verse 13. And this is a conditional promise, if you like. You do your part and God says, I'll do my part. God says, I will rescue you if you believe in my name. And that's the question this morning. Do you need to call on the name of Jesus? Or maybe have you misused God's name? And is there a gap, perhaps, between belief and behavior? See, I have more trouble with Rick Garvey than anyone else in the world. And that's why I need to keep going to Jesus. At so many points, I'm so aware of my sin, the way I respond to Lindy, my kids. It can sometimes seem like I'm on an autopilot and the reactions just happen and then I've blown it again. See, I can be petty and vain and arrogant, mean and selfish and judgmental, and that's me on a good day. See, without Jesus as Savior, I'm utterly lost. And without Jesus as Lord, I'll never change. See, we need both. We need Jesus to save us, which sets us free from sin, which our feet are placed on the rock. We're put in right standing with God, no longer under his condemnation, or not his condemnation, but the wrath of God. And yet, in Jesus, we find ourselves in right standing. We need Jesus as Savior, and yet we need Jesus as Lord as well. Jesus is the first person in our life and the first priority that we give in all things. And praise God, he's given us his Holy Spirit who live inside of us. See, this is not a matter of us trying harder or doing more. It's a matter of a life in the Spirit, a life of grace and freedom and fullness and abundance. Praise God that he sent his Son to die for us on the cross, to have the sin of the world and my sin and your sin paid in full. The debt that we could never pay back, it's been paid by Jesus Christ. Praise God that he has raised him from the dead into the glorious resurrection, which we now stand in. Amen. Praise God. Now, I just want you to listen as I read this from John 14, verse 16 following. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Isn't that amazing? That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. It's the Word of God. He will give you a helper and he will abide with you and be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Hallelujah. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. We move on to verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Isn't that just amazing? God makes his abode with us, his home, where he is with us. Praise God. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I said to you. See, the Holy Spirit inside of us is teaching us all things, and he will bring to remembrance all that he has spoken to us. Remember, I said it's not about striving harder. Yes, we have a responsible part to play, but if we try in our own strength, we will fall. If we do it in his strength, praise God, we will know life and life in its fullness. Hallelujah. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. What an amazing passage of Scripture where he's saying to us, I give you the Holy Spirit. I will come and make my home in you. And I give you my peace, the peace of God, the very shalom of God, the whole peace. Now, do not be fearful. So let's pray. Matt, if you want to come up, we're going to respond in worship. Let's just, if it helps, close our eyes, just not to be distracted. You don't need to, of course. There's nothing special in closing eyes. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that taking your name in vain is an issue of the heart. Cleanse me, I pray, from the inside out. Create in me a clean heart and touch my lips. Fill me afresh with the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask you to do that now. I pray for everyone here this morning that knows you as Lord and Savior. Come and fill their hearts afresh with your presence. I ask, Lord, that they know you even this morning in a greater measure. That you be their comforter. You be their teacher. You be their guide. You be their light. Holy Spirit, we welcome you again. You've been here the whole time, but we open, as Roya brought that word, we open the doors of our heart to receive you more and more and afresh this morning. Lord Jesus, please guard what I say. And may I never take you for granted or speak of you in a foolish way. Help me to honor you in my thoughts and words and deeds. And help me, Lord, to keep your word. Lord, we just read in the scriptures. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Lord, I pray that you come now. Just before we worship, let's take a couple of minutes just in the quietness of our hearts and just pray. See, we all fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And we can come this morning and just ask for forgiveness, ask for a cleansing. Lord, so let's just do that for a minute. Just the quietness of our hearts. Just if there's something particular, bring it to the Lord. Lord, our heart's desire is that we be a holy people. Your word says, be holy as I am holy. And we can only do that through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you put on our hearts in a life-giving way, in a refreshing way, that we are all, those that know you as Lord and Savior, are walking gospels. We have a testimony. People look at us. Lord, I pray that our behavior and who we are and our values, all the things that drive us and motivate us and the way that we do life, I pray that we all hang that on. As you said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the word and the prophets, the law and the prophets, hang on these. I pray you minister to us, Lord. Because as the Lord brings ministry, he brings life. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are set free from that. If anyone's feeling a weight that isn't, that brings condemnation, then it's not a weight that's coming from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God brings conviction. The enemy brings condemnation. We don't preach words of condemnation. We preach words of life because that's the Bible. And I pray for anyone that's feeling a weight that isn't conviction, I pray just to break free of that in Jesus' name. We We say, you have no place here. Enemy, you're not welcome here. We want to bring our lives to you, Lord Jesus. Lay them at the cross. And that those lives we live out in service and worship to you. Not being distracted by other things. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Matt's going to lead us now in worship as we... And we've got 15 minutes. We've got a good time of worship. I'd love to pray with anyone that wants prayer for anything specific. And if not, just let's enter into his presence, enter into all that he's doing amongst us and with us this morning. Amen. Thank you, Matt.
Let me stand.